Okay, we're at the first word in the lines were Bay. Middle of the line, Tanya. Tanya Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Sheinu smechim smichas b'shueva. We were celebrating, rejoice. Smichas b'shueva lo inu shena be'einenu. We never slept. Our eyes didn't see sleep at all. Kate said, how is that so? Explain to me how the day went. Shar b'shona tamid shal shachar. We started off the day. First part of the day was the korban tamid. Misham l'tfila. I went to daven afterwards. Misham l'korban musaf. I went to the korban musaf afterwards. Sham l'tfila musaf. And then afterwards, daven musaf. Sham l'beis hamedrash. And there, we went to learn a little bit. Misham l'achila b'shtiyah. And notice here, they learned before they ate. They went to eat afterwards and drink afterwards. Misham l'tfila a mincha. Misham l'tamid shal b'ein arbaim. The korban shal b'ein arbaim. Mikam v'elech l'smichas b'shueva. And the entire day was taken up through this. I guess it lasted the entire night. And then morning it started again. Marcel here, how could that be? Inni, is it so? Is it so that the entire Chag of Sukkot, they didn't sleep at all? But Amar B'Yochanan, Shvua Shalo Ishan, Shalosh Yamin Malkin also, Ishan La Alter, if a person made a Shvua, he would not sleep for three consecutive days. So we call that a Shvua Shabbos, says Rashi. That's a Shvua taken in vain. There's no way to keep that Shvua. We give you lashes for saying it, and then we make you sleep right away. I mean, your Shvua doesn't even take effect. You treat the Shvua very lightly, so we give you lashes. And you sleep. Why? Because it's impossible to sleep, not sleep for 3 days. And here, we're claiming to not sleep for an entire week long. How could that be? Elachi Kamar is what I meant to say. Lo ta'amnu ta'am shena. They didn't say lo ra'inu shena. They said lo ta'amnu ta'am shena. We didn't taste true sleep. Tavu minamni akatva dahadadi. We would doze off on the shoulders of each other. Meaning we would snooze. We would snooze. We would not sleep. Deep sleeps. Where else do we have this idea of not sleeping deep sleeps? Tefillin. And with sukkah. Exactly, yeah. I didn't sleep at all, you mean? Why would the Gemara... I mean, he made it seem like that. Our eyes didn't see sleep at all. It was exaggeration. It was a lash. Right, so that's what the Gemara wanted to know. And the Gemara in the end concluded that was correct in the end. Exactly. My guess that's probably daf chav vav mar alf at the bottom. Chav vav mar alf in the bottom. What's that? That's the next right, next. Exactly, very good. Okay, the two dots now. Nun gimel amar alf, about 7 lines from the bottom of the page. Nope. Six? Was it?
Stern. Please recount.
Seven. Okay. I never got buzzed before. I got off guard. Anyways, Chameshas Rei Malos. We said before there were the 15 steps. Amar Rav Chizil Humi Rabbanan. Davi Kamisadra Agad the Kame. So Rav Chizil says this one of his Rebbeim. Whose job it was to tell over Masada, he would tell over Agadita. Back in the day, they used to have people whose job it was to memorize things, to share Divrei Torah with each other. Here, there was someone whose job was to share Divrei Agadita. And in front of Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda said to this person whose job it was to share Divrei Agadita, Amar Lei, Shmilecha, Hani, Chamesh, Shemalos, Kenegan, Mi, Amar, and Davin. Have you heard? Can you share with me? Can you let me hear? These 15, I mean, the Shira Malos, the Davin Melech said, for what did he say that? Meaning, where did it come from? What was the impetus? What was the excitement that caused him to make up these 15 Shir HaMalos? So Amalei, Hachem Rabbi Yochanan. So he quoted this Messiah there, this person who would put together a God from Chizda said, this is what Rabbi Yochanan, I heard Rabbi Yochanan say, B'shah Shekara David Shisin. Over here, Rashi was over here. It sounds like it's taking the opinion that Shisin were not from the Shisin Mebracious. But then he says, not so fast. You could say it was, says Rashi. But it got a little dirty. Things clogged away, and he had to kind of clear it up. But either way, the Dovid Melech was clearing up the way for the Shisin. The Dovid Melech did not build a base of Mikdash, but he did everything he could to get it ready, including the Shisin, apparently. When the Dovid Melech was getting ready to dig for the Shisin, Kafa Tahoma, the waters of the depths started to flow upwards. Uboy L'mishtifa Alma, and it wanted to drown the world, meaning he dislodged some part of the earth that was, I guess, covering up the waters down below, and the water started to gush forth like a geyser, and it wanted to drown the world. Amar David Chameshas Rei Malos, Vorida. David Melech said the Shira Malos, 15 of them, and was able to lower the waters gushing forth to a more normal position. Gemara says, that's the story you want to share with me? is now Rav Chizkiya talking. Yihachi chamishrei malos yordos mibayle. It shouldn't say the 15 shira malos, the 15 shira yordos. If you're making the waters go down, why are you calling them the shira malos? The songs of ascent should be the songs of descent, making the waters. That's what it's based on. And therefore, he challenged this story. So Amar Lei, so now the Masad is back to Rav Chizkiya. Oh, ho vidchartan, now that you've reminded me now that this was not exactly what it was, but you asked me Akasha, now I remember. Hachi Itmar, this is what it was stated. And here's the Agad to that he's going to tell over. Bishah Shekar David Shisin. Again, that part starts the same. David was digging the Shisin, as we mentioned earlier on, the holes where the Yayin Nesech, the Nisach Yayin, Nisach HaMayim, would be poured into, would go down into. So Kafa Tehoma Uvar Mishvah Alma. That part's the same. Again, the waters below started rushing forward and they wanted to drown the world. Amar David, David says, Mi ikam mi diyada, Yishar lemichtav shem achasva, v'najdei b'tehoma umanach. Which means, oh, that's very good, that's true. Who knows? Excellent. Does someone here know if you're permitted to write Shem Hashem achasva on a shard of pottery, v'najdei b'tehoma, and throw it down into the depths where the water is gushing from? Umanach, and the waters will rest, potentially. Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to throw the water, the Shem Hashem down there, by doing so erasing Shem Hashem to settle the waters? Leka dekamer le'midi. No one said a word to him. It was like, you could hear the birds chirping, the grasshoppers chirping, no one said a word. Amar David called the Yada le'meimar ve'enu omer yechanek begrono. Whoever knows, but doesn't say, I curse you, you should suffocate, you should strangle, you become strangled. You should lose oxygen in your throat. You should lose your ability to breathe. So Achitofel, who according to Rashi, by the way, pointed out earlier on this prior Amud, David HaMelech didn't want to say anything because Achitofel was his Rebbe. He didn't want to pass him more. He wanted to be more luchad for listening to Rabbah. So he was hesitant to say anything from Achitofel. So now the Rebbe Achitofel now says the following thing. Achitofel makes a kavachomer in by himself, meaning he doesn't know the answer. At least not, it's not a textual discussion. But he has the following thought. He's Nasa. He raises up the following Kal V'chomer on his own. Uma lasos. Again, he didn't say this out loud, but he's just thinking this. Uma lasos. Shalom ish le ishto. Amar Torah Shmi Shnichta B'kedusha Yimache Alamayim. If, just like to make shalom between husband and wife, the Torah states that my name, which is written B'kedusha, can be erased with water. That's how the Sota was checked, by throwing the Shem Hashem into a earthen world cup of water. And the Sota drinks it, and we see what happens afterwards. So if I'm going to do that for a single marriage, a single person, shalom ish l'ishto, lasa shalom l'kol olam kulo, lachas kama v'kama, to create peace in the entire world, to create a world, as we shouldn't be drowned, all the more so. And based upon that Kal V'chomer, Amar Lei, so Achitofel says, Shari, you're permitted to. Because of shame achaspa, so David HaMelech wrote the name of Hashem on the shard of pottery, v'shari l'tahoma, v'nachis tahoma. He threw it down to Tehom, and the Tehom is Nachis. It lowered itself. Shisar Alfe Garmidi. Garmidi are Amos. 16,000 Amos in the ground, in the earth. It went all the way deep into the center of the earth. Kichazi Nachis Tuvo. When he saw, that it went down so much, Amar, he said, Kamad Midli Tvei Mirtav Alma. If I get more or higher, if I can raise the waters higher, Midli is to raise a little more, yeah.
I was just going to say, can you make an analogy between the idea that the name can be erased in water, find out, test the fun? Is that why, like, his name in the world is, like, being, you know...
Like, said in vain?
The world looks like Hashem doesn't exist. It looks like his name's being debated.
Say, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed his name to be erased for reasons, so therefore it opened the opportunity, possibly for name to be erased generally, like more...
The fact that the way the world is now, it seems like his name is being erased, right? It's being destroyed. Is that a parallel purpose?
It's a good question. It's a good question. Like, actually, one second, I'll answer that question potentially. I don't know if it's an answer, but a thought. Amar Kama de Midli Tvei Mirtav Alma. If I can raise it more, if I can raise the surface level of the water a little higher, it's better. It'll cause the Alma, the Olam, the world, Mirtav, to be more moist, so it becomes more fertile. So Amar Chamesh Shir Malos, he said Shir HaMalos, the 15 Shir HaMalos, Va'aske Chameser Alfei Garmidi. Va'ukmi Ba'alfei Garmidi. And it raised, the 15,000 Amos, the water raised up, and Ukme, and it stood, 1,000 amos into the ground. So Amar Ulu Hulu says Shmami. Now we see from here Sumcha Da'ara Alfei Garmidi. The thickness of the world, of the ground, it goes down 1,000 amos before you hit water. Says Gemara, what do you mean? Vachazinan the Karina Uporta of Nafkimaya. Behold, we see that you can dig. Karina's dig. We dig a little bit, and water comes out. It's not 1,000 amos in the ground. You dig a little bit, and you see moisture. You see water. Mersharsha Ha'u Misuma De Pras. That was from the Nahar Pras, which Rashi pointed out here was the highest of the Naharus. And there was a Suma called the ladder, but it means that the Nahar Pras had many layers to it, and part of the layers were closer to the world than the Tahom was. That's what you see when you dig, not 1,000 amos in the ground. You dig a little bit in the ground, you see some water, that's where it's from. Just to answer Chaim's question, you can say the following thing. I'm not sure this is the answer. I don't know the answer. This is a very deep question you're asking, but is there a potential? I would say a little differently. I would say maybe that Kosh Baruch Hu allowed his name to be erased, opened up, like you remember, we have Amalek. Amalek fought B'nai Yisrael. They were, it says Vayikar, that they stumbled upon us, but they cooled the bath down. Once they fought us, it now has, whoa, 1 second, so you can fight Klal Yisrael. And that opened up the possibility. So you're suggesting, potentially, the fact that Kosh Baruch gives a commandment, a tzivoy, erase my name. So that opens up the possibility of the world that can now take Hashem's names and treat it with lack of respect. Could be. I don't know. It's a very deep question.
As a purpose for a test. I mean, that's why he did it in the Sota, right? He did it as a test.
So I would say, I don't know if it's a test, but it's more once the possibility exists. I mean, but again, but it might be worth. I mean, we say in Bereishis, say in Parshas Bereishis, Hashem says Nasa Adam b'tzalminu kid Musenu, right? Nasa Adam. What does Nasa mean? Let us make man. That opens up the door to blasphemy. The more than one God who created the world, us, plural. Why does Hashem do that? So the Rashi there quotes the famous Medrash. No, Hashem wanted to show, to teach us, we should be anavim, we should consult people before we do anything at all. Hashem consulted the angels. So I saw one time, I think Rav Chanan Wasserman maybe, or they quoted him at least. He asked, is it worth it? Is it worth the lesson? Nice lesson, great, beautiful. But now you opened up the possibility for heresy, for blasphemy. Is it worth the lesson? So the shot he gives, he quoted the idea of Rav Chanan Wasserman, I think it's his idea. I don't know if he said his words exactly, but whoever wants to find problems will find problems where they want to find it. I'm not going to hold back from allowing things to get done properly and learning lessons. Whoever wants to find a problem with God's Baruch Hu will find it somewhere else, if not over here. So he's going to teach whatever lesson he wants to teach. You want to think what you want to learn from that, things you should be learning from that, that's your own call. But we won't go anywhere but teach directly what the lessons to be learned are. But I have also got some beautiful idea I read one time many years ago in the Emes Yaakov Yaakov Kamenetsky about this line over here. He quotes the lesson, Ma'a Lasa Shalom Bein Ish L'Ishtom. Why is he saying Lasa Shalom? Why did he say, like, Dini Nefashos? To judge a single person's life, the woman's life, judge a single person's life, Hashem will have his name be erased in the water. So for the whole world, he should have been... What's that? Which part?
For a single person.
The Sota. So Hashem is this judge for the single woman, a Sota, and he lets his name be erased to judge her. Is she innocent or is she guilty?
Focus on the fact you're saying.
Yeah, no, it's not to create Shalom, it's to judge her. Right, that's what's really for. We don't know the answer, so we don't have to judge her. Hashem is judging her. Hashem knows what really happened. Why does he say Ma'al HaShalom? So this is an unbelievable line Yaakov Kamenetsky brings down. He says, if you had a Beis Din, you could judge her also with a Beis Din. And then the end of the day, they found her innocent. Found her innocent. She goes home and says, no, honey, I told you I didn't do it. Is he really going to be so confident she didn't do it? Does the Beis Din really know she didn't do it? It's hard to know. But she got away with it, maybe. The Aiden didn't see everything, maybe, and she denied it. But it could be that we all know there's certain crimes and certain court cases that went a certain decision that no one believed. Like O.J. Simpson, of course he killed his wife and his ex-wife and the person she was with. Of course he killed her. But the judge says he was innocent. But no one believes that. So the husband also may not believe. He's too emotional. He's not going to believe that it wasn't true. The only person, the only thing in the world that could ever make the husband be satisfied is Ribono Shel Olam himself. He breaks his usual nature of letting Beis Din decide. He says, it was not going to work if I let Beis Din decide. So, and he did it for the create Shalom and Ishlo. In order to make sure that the husband knows that his wife is innocent, Hashem himself will tell the husband that she's innocent. And then the guy can know, oh, must be true. And that creates Shalom and Ishlo. It's not time to judge. To judge a case, it could be anyone doing it. But to create Shalom and Ishlo, only because Baruch Hu could do it. And that's why Yaakov Kamenetsky brings down, that's why the Sota was done the way it was done. There was no other way the husband would ever believe it if it wasn't from Kosh Baruch Hu himself. Okay. The Andu Kohanim Bishar Elyon, first line in the widest lines. Am I right? First line in the widest lines? The Andu Kohanim Bishar Elyon Sheyorid, etc. We're now going to go through some of the discussion. It says that they went to the 10th step, it says in the Mishnah. Boy, that's the following question. Lamala Asiris, the nachis chamisha v'kai asara. When we say the 10th step, does that mean the 10th step up? That he went down 5 steps, the Kohanim went down 5 steps, and they now stood, v'kai, they stood now on the 10th step? Odilma the nachis asara v'kai chamisha. When we say the 10th step, does it mean he went down 10 steps and is now on the 5th step from the bottom? Take him. Mar says we're not sure. It's a very interesting thing. Again, you find, you know, what's the nafkamina? I guess the nafkamina will be when we have Mishnah Beis Hamikdash come back to the Beis Hamikdash. So how are we going to do it? But it's interesting to have a teiku, like a discussion, which one was what, that we put so much effort into understanding it, shows us that, again, that we want to understand every last part of the process of how the Beis Hamikdash was built and how the Kohanim devoted to the Beis Hamikdash. Tan Rabbanan, Mimash Shenemar, Upleim Kedma, In Yodesh Achreim El Heichal Hashem. The Mishnah pointed out and said that their faces were towards east, which of course meant that their backs were towards west, which is towards Hashem. Says the Gemara again, the fact that, can I not infer that it says that their faces were eastward, do I not know that their backs then were westward, which is towards Heichal Hashem? Lamata Malomar, Achorim Heichal Hashem, why did they say their backs were towards Hashem? So it says, Malame, it'll teach you, she'u porin atzmon much reason klapim mata. It was like as if they exposed themselves. And they were inappropriately directing things towards the matzah, like the other ground, like as they go to the bathroom in front of Hashem himself. It's like they were disgracing Hashem. It wasn't only that they turned that way, but they did so with such disdain and such inappropriate chutzpah. That's what it meant. What's that? So that's what the people. It said that I don't know what generation it was, but it says our. What is it? Abu Seinu. Did Rashi say anything over here? Bayis Harishon. Says Rashi on the Mishnah. Bayis Harishon, are you kofrin? Are you playing the Bayis El Achoreim El Hashem? Someone in Bayis Harishon, and this is from Yechezkel. In time of Yechezkel, he described this terrible scene of what was going on in the Bayis Harishon. Anu Lekha Ulekha Inenu. We are to Hashem, and to Hashem are our eyes. That's how he said it in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Inni, is that true? Is that how you said it? How can you say it that way? Pa'am Rabbi Zeir states, Kol Omer Shema Shema, Hilu Omer Modim Modim. If you say Shema Shema, shame, you say, as if you're talking to the same person or two different people, Shema Shema. It's like you say Modim Modim with the rules, you're supposed to silence that person, Mishaskin or so, you should quiet that person down. You can't say the same thing twice. You can't sound like you're talking to different people. If you say Anu Leka Uleka, how can you say that? You can't say Hashem's name twice, like you're talking to two different Hashems. How could that be? Which is El Kamri, is what they were saying. Our ancestors would bow towards the east, away from Hashem. And we are to you. And we are awaiting, our eyes are awaiting you. Rashi went out of here, it means that the shame of Hashem was on two different things. It wasn't like Shema, Shema, Israel, Israel. It wasn't Modim, Modim. It was Hashem's name attached to two different things. And therefore, you know, it may have been said back to back, literally word after word, but it wasn't saying the same thing twice. It was saying two different things, and therefore you're allowed to say Shem Hashem twice in that context. Okay, the mission now goes on, and we did a lot of math of this one as well, about figuring out how many shofar blasts we would cap out at, and how many we would have in the most basic of days. Mission says in Avnu Gimel Omen Beis, Ein Pochsin Me'esrin V'Achas Tzkios B'Mikdash E'Mosifin Al Arba'im U'Shmonen. We never had less than 21 tekiyos in the Mikdash, nor do we ever have more than 48. The Gemara later on will challenge that one at least, but we never had more than 48 tekiyos in the base of Mikdash. Now let's go through how this worked. B'chol yom ha'yusham esrim v'achas, every basic day you had 21 tekiyos in the Mikdash. 21 tekiyos in the Mikdash. Shalosh u'psichas shar. The first three, when the gates were opened originally, you blew the shofar three times, and that was to signify the opening of the sharim. And from that point forward, Teisha Letamit Shal Shachar, Teisha Letamit Shal Ben Arbaim, each of the Korbanos had 9 blasts attached to them. So you have 9 blasts of the Korban Tamit Shal Shachar, 9 more of the Korban Tamit Shal Ben Arbaim in the afternoon time, 9 plus 9 is 18, plus 3 is 21. Standard day, you had 21 shofar blasts in the Mikdash. And let's now start to add on to those days. Uvi Musafin. And if you had a korban musaf, a day of a musaf, it was even otesha. So you'd have another 9, which equals now 30. You had 30 blasts in the base of Mikdash on a regular day that had a musaf attached to it. Ube Erev Shabbos, let's say it was Erev Shabbos. You had 6 extra ones. Shalosh lahavtil as ami melacha. Three, to tell the nation, no, it's time to cut back your work. Time to, you know, to put everything down and get ready for Shabbos. Shalosh adav in kodesh l'chol. And three more to say, Zman's up. Now it is kodesh in the world. And therefore now at 36. And if that Erev Shabbos would be Tocha Chag, would be during Sukkos, Hayusham Arbaim Mishmona. We got the 48. How? So we have again the first three we had already, Shalosh Pesikos HaSharim. Three to open the gates up in the beginning. Shalosh the Shar Elyon. And three more when we got to the Shar Elyon. Over here Rashi points out, he does for the rest of these points, that this is all talking about Mishnahs we've seen earlier on. Mishnah said earlier, Tiku V'Ariyu V'Tiku. So we had three by the Shar Elyon, says Rashi. We said earlier, Kara Gever Tiku V'Ariyu V'Tiku. And that's up to six. Shalosh the Shar Tachton. This was on our it says over here Nun Aleph Mabez. This was in the original the Mishnah, our Mishnah. In our Mishnah itself. As we got to we got to the Kara Gever, we got the Sheikh Hatotrots, Tiku Tiku, and then they got to the Mala series, Tiku, etc. So
this was before the Mala.
Before they got to the Mala, this is the first with the gates opened up, before the Mala we got to even, we had three more. We're at six right now. We're keeping track. We have six right now going on. Shalosh Shar Tachton. That's when we got. We finally started walking down. We kept on blowing it until we got out of the Azara. We're up to nine right now. Shalosh Milu Hamayim. Again, Rashi here points out that they also blew Milu Hamayim. And we said earlier on Memchas Mabez as well. Correct. Yilu Shar Mayim Tiku Riva Tiku. So now we're at what number are we at now? 9 or 12? Which one are we up to? 3, 6, 9. Up to 12. Three to open up the gates. Three is Shar Elyon. Three is Shar Tachton. Three Milu Mayim. 12. Shalosh Al Gevim Mizbeach. Three more. When we place the Aravos by the Mizbeach, equaling 15. And also, that was also a mission we had. That we blew the shofar when we placed the Aravos by the Mizbeach. Teish L'Tamid Shal Shachar. We're to 24. Teish L'Tamid Shal Berbayim. 33. Teish L'Musafin. 42. Shalosh l'avtil as amin amlacha, 45, and the final three shalosh l'avtil ben kodesh l'chol. So we have over here on Erev Shabbos that was also Sukkos, and the Sukkos Shavuot was going on. The Nisach HaMayim was going on. We would get to our max number of 48. We'll do one last part and then we'll stop. Maslis look Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Time to learn a bright Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hapokes Oyivchos Misheva. Mostly Osif Al Sheishes Rei. He had the numbers to be a third of the other amounts. Not 21 and 48, but 7 and 16. Minimum 7 and maximum 16. This is where Michael, what are they arguing about? Yehuda Savar Tkiya Trua Tkiya Achasi. Yehuda counts a whole set of blasts. Tkiya Trua Tkiya to be only counting as one. Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan held, no. Tkiya Lechud V'tru Lechud. Each blast had its own number and therefore its own defined amount. And the Mishnah we know is like the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Mishnah has 21, and it has 48. So it didn't have 7 and 16, because it counted each blast. Tkiya is 1, true is 1, Tkiya is 1, 3 each time you have a set. So we wanted to know, why does Rabbi Yehuda say it's all 1? Why is all 3 considered only 1? My time is Rabbi Yehuda. So we wanted to hear, Amar Krat says in the Pasuk, Utkatem Trua, says that you blew the Trua, but it used the word Utkatem and Trua together, implying that Tkiya and Trua are one and the same. They're not separate entities, they're one and the same. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say that's not what it means. Ha'hu, lipshuta lefanel achreahu da'asa. Teaching you that every time you have a tkiya, you have a trua, you have a tkiya beforehand, and a tkiya after as well. It wasn't telling you that they're the same thing. It's telling you that they're always placed in an order. Tkiya, true in the middle, tkiya following it as well. That's what it's teaching you in the end. Where's the Rabbanan, my time, my? Why is the Rabbanan's reason then where they hold that there's it's counted as three? Dixiv uvahakios akal. When you gather the nation together, when you blow the trumpets, the shofar, to gather them together, do the tkiya, do not do the trua. And the Gemara says, tkiya, trua, achasi, if they really, they always go together, they belong together, consider one entity. Amar Rahman, apagel, the mitzvah avid, apagel, avid. The Torah tells you, just do half mitzvah, and the other half of the mitzvah. Meaning, if they always belong together, and they're one unit all the time, then why would the Torah ever tell you, do a tkiya, don't do a trua, if it's one long unit? Rabbi Yehuda says back, nah, that's not a good argument. That wasn't for the mitzvah of shofar blowing. That was just to gather the troops. It was a simanaba alma. It was just it served as a Horde as an announcement, as a simon, as a sign. Nothing more than that. Don't read too deeply into it. That's why, again, it's true it wasn't a normal way of doing it, but this wasn't a regular mitzvah, so that's why we did it this way. Rabban, the Rabban respond, it's true. Simanu, it is only a simon. Rachman is a mitzvah. Rachman made it into a mitzvah. Rachman said, do it this way. Meaning they made the simon into a mitzvah. They gave it tzivoy. The tzivoy was only a tzkiya, no true attached to it. Why? Because tzkiya is independent from trua. And trua is independent from tzkiya. And even though it's true, you always had tzkiya, true tzkiya, when it came to the blows of shofar, each part was an independent part. Mark concludes and says, or concludes for us, Kiman Azla, like who does the following thing go like? I mean, Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanan? The Amr of Kana ain bein tkila trua velo klum. Nothing comes. Rashi says there's no hafsaka, there's no break at all between tkia and trua. Only the amount takes you to breathe. Who would that be like? Where it says Rabbi Yehuda. Correct. It's like you have to make sure it stays as one unit. Make it one unit and do not separate between the tkia and the trua. Who says it's like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said it's all one unit and you should. It's not separate entities. Which is true, of course, Rabbi Yehuda. It sounds very much like Rabbi Yehuda said. It's not so fast as Gemara. Ma'od etema afilu kirabanan. Maybe tell me even the Rabbanan could be this opinion that it should be nothing between tki and true at all. So why are they saying it that way? The Rabbanan usually felt that there's a separated, they're independent things. Why do you say nothing between tki at all? Lafuki with Rabbi Yochanan. And the Rabbanan could be that opinion because it's telling you it's not like Rabbi Yochanan said. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Shma, Shama Tesha Tzkios, Tesha Shaus Bayom Yatsa. If you hear a tkiya and then an hour later another tkiya, and you have them an hour separate between them, or Yochanan holds your Yotze. The Rabbanan doesn't hold them. So maybe you tell me, Kamash from sorry, we would think to say maybe the Rabbanan or the opinion says over here, Ein Bein Tkiya True Velo Klum, and they're telling you Rabbi Yochanan's wrong, you shouldn't have such long gaps. Kamash from the Gemara says over here, no, it's the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, not the Rabbanan's opinion. What's the Ein Machanan? Why don't we say really no, this is true? Meaning, is this could be Rabbanan? Maybe it's Rabbanan, maybe it's not Rabbanan, maybe it's Rabbanan. Why are you dismissing the Rabbanan? What's the Ein Kein My Velo Klum? What does it mean nothing at all? Just say, Ein Bein Tkiya True. What means below klum? Nothing at all. Nothing at all means not even more than a breath. So Yehuda is the one who says that, because he holds it's all one big unit. We'll stop over here, and we'll continue bleeding at it tomorrow.